Sign up for our free newsletter at motortraderadio.com. One in four adults experience a mental health challenge every year. It takes real strength to ask for support, but this is the first step towards getting yourself back on track. Ben provides support for life to the people working in the automotive industry and their families. We can give free, confidential advice about you and your loved one's mental well-being, including depression, anxiety, grief, dementia, and addictions. Visit www.ben.org.uk or call 08081 311 333. Motor Trade Radio is brought to you in partnership with MotorTrader.com, CapHPI, Carsnip.com and RadarVideo.co.uk.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Saturday podcast. It is Saturday, the 15th of April, and yes, it is an Easter weekend. And this morning, I'm actually going to welcome Jason Jego, who is the Director of Sales for RadarVideo.co.uk. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Phil. Thank you for having me on.
It's okay. So you've recently joined the world of Radar and supporting Derek in his new venture into the digital world of videoing.
Absolutely. I think it's week five, and thoroughly entertaining and enjoying it at the early stages of the role, and obviously helping Derek build the program, build the business up.
And I'm sure looking forward to a long weekend, which is probably your first few days off since you probably started.
Absolutely. So looking forward. I've been looking forward to coming on to the show and been excited and nervous about the
Don't worry. What we'll do this morning is we'll come back to yourself in a minute and you can talk about a bit of your background and how things are going. We've obviously got a few headlines from MotorTrader.com. We've just picked a few selective ones this week because we weren't live last week, so there's sort of 2 weeks to go through. So we've picked some main ones for you to talk about, and then you know head over to the MotorTrader.com to read more there. We've got a bit of an exclusive which is from CapHPI in terms of a white paper they've produced, and then we're going to listen to Derek as a tribute to the legendary late Sir Arnold Clark, as he's passed away this week at the age of 89, and then we'll finish off with a couple of shout outs for Curtis and what he's up to. So let's start off. Welcome to the show, Jason. How are things going? Tell us a bit about yourself, a little bit about your background and where you've come from.
Yeah, it's lovely to say, Phil. Thanks again for inviting us on. Background myself, I feel a little bit of a veteran. This year, it's my 30th year in the industry. So a lot of changes, a lot of, I think, moving forward, and hence obviously the excitement of joining Radar Video. Just sort of a brief background. Don't want to go too deep. I think we want to improve subscribers, not remove them.
Exactly, yeah.
I've had sort of the dealer group role through to PLCs and major manufacturers, but more recently in the world of customer experience and mystery shopping. And then latterly, we see it now, and now obviously with Radar, with the wonderful world of video and the technology that goes behind it.
So I think really from obviously your appointment with Radar, I mean, it's kind of, you saw it as the way, an opportunity within the industry. It was kind of, you know, evolution of what was happening, and you could add value in terms of your industry contacts, couldn't you, in terms of opening those doors, which are, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but those doors are probably fairly easy to push open, are they, with what you've got to offer?
Yeah, absolutely. The product, I think, is so strong, and coming from the motor trade, just knowing with what we can offer, it's something that's just amazingly, it's an amazing alternative to what dealers are already doing. Very straightforward, very, very simple. Interactive videos, it is the way, and it's the way for dealer groups and manufacturers, as we found out and as we are now knocking on and opening doors. We've got some great activity with manufacturers. We're currently in contact with four manufacturers on dealer trials. We've got dealer group appointments and dealer group activities. And those that saw on LinkedIn, we had a dealer trial. We offered towards the end of the quarter. We were looking for pilots for dealer trials. The take-up was so good. We're looking potentially extending it again at the end of April to see if we did the help we offer dealers at the end of the quarter, see if we can extend that and can contribute to the sort of dealer sales and registrations for April as well. So we'll keep you posted towards the end of the month of whether we extend those trials for you again.
So in terms of, without obviously doing it as a promotion for Radar, I mean, in the 5 weeks that you've been doing this, what's the response so far then? Is it positive? I mean, I can guess that it's probably positive. I mean, what kind of response have you had?
Phenomenal. I'll have to big this up because Derek's listening. So it's had very good response. We've had great feedback from both current potential clients, i.e. people that we're aware of, people that that know the brand and the product, but ultimately, and it's where it's being driven at manufacturer level, supporting their campaigns, where there are specific finance campaigns, there's special offers, product offers. The campaign videos are so specific that just generate footfall into the business when they use it with their marketing ads.
And in terms of timing, I mean, we're obviously in the second quarter of the year. We're probably going to talk shortly about the result in March and Q1, what that's done to the network in terms of volume of products, etc. I mean, is it good timing? Do you think at the minute with what you got offered is it sort of an apt opportunity that people are getting response? You know, in terms of what you've got to offer at a time where, you know, they've got a challenge for the rest of the year in this current climate that we're in. Is that the kind of position that you're in?
Bill, spot on. And I think, as I said, we're likely to cover that with the registrations, that we know how good the quarter and Q1 and March end was with registrations. But does that pull business from April? So, you know, with us helping and supporting these groups and manufacturers, that each site has a specific campaign, whether it's a finance campaign, whether it's a service offer, whether it's Motability, Infinity programs, we can actually help each individual business and dealership target specific campaigns to promote the business to help April registrations. So they're actually registering vehicles during the month, not help pushing forward as month ends. And then as you go into May and June and you start stretching for numbers at the end of the month.
And in terms of our audience that's probably listening this morning, you know, there is the opportunity for used cars nearly new, isn't there? I mean, we obviously, you know, you've mentioned the manufacturer, but, you know, long term, this will wash through into the nearly new and used car market opportunities, won't it, for some of the listeners?
It's been a great, and that's where the take up in April has been good. So for those sites that had sort of registrations or service loan cars, courtesy vehicles that they registered to move on, by now, specifically targeting those pre-reg and nearly new by using the video campaigns, that's what's been so successful for them going into the start of Q2.
Great. Well, I think, you know, all we can do is wish you luck. Not that you need it. I think, you know, say you're pushing on open doors, and, you know, in terms of this week, I've watched the live Talkie Nation, I think it's called, with Jim Reid, that he did that live interview, and, you know, you can see where a lot of the disruptors are coming into the market, direct marketing sectors and online platforms, and we're obviously going to talk about Cox Automotive and some of their propositions that's hit the headlines in the recent week or so. So I think it's, you know, it is a good time as dealer networks and OEMs and etc. are looking at alternative methods of marketing and better return on investment for their marketing spend, aren't they? So
no, and well, so we can support what they're already doing. So if they already have their own marketing strategy and plan for new or used, we can support them with it, we can help them with it, or we can do it for them. It's all about return. That's all dealers want to do, is shift metal and make money out of it. We can help them do that very easily and very quickly.
Exactly. So if we move on to a few stories, and like, yeah, I say, these are just a few that we've got, and head over to motortrader.com for the full story and others. So we've got the first one, which is, there's two stories from Cox Automotive. So we'll talk about both in one, but the header is basically Cox Automotive enters the UK DMS market with Incadia. I think that's the sim that they use. And that's obviously, we've spoke about it, Derek and I, previously on the podcast, in terms of Cox Automotive entering the UK market, predominantly very dominant in the US market, and now starting to bring in some of their solutions into the UK dealer network under the Cox Automotive brand. So they've obviously launching into the DMS market using, like I say, Incadia as their their means to do that, and they operate in 90 countries and have 4,000 dealerships on the books. In 2015, as part of the $4 billion purchase of DealerTrack in the US. So I think you could say that they've got some technology there.
Big numbers, isn't it? A proven background with the numbers of dealers they work with.
I mean, we were talking before the show in terms of the demand for integration. And I think this is because obviously DMS is always a tough one to break into, because there's across the dealer network, they all have various different DMS systems, and it's a case of how you integrate third party solutions into those systems. Have you had experience with that? I think you've probably experienced that, haven't you, through your time?
As we were saying earlier, that from See It Nowadays, they work with similar number of dealerships as Incadia do, and the one common feedback that we got was integration. Dealers want it simple, it's got to be easy, quick to use, and integration is the key. Get it integrated, dealers will take it on board very quickly.
Yeah, and obviously at the same time, I mean, something else Cox are obviously doing, they're obviously, you know, and probably those that are listening probably think, God for that, there is an alternative, but they're looking at a system that offers the dealers a benchmarking data tool, which is obviously to challenge to Auto Trader's Eye Control that's been in the market for a year or so now, and that's using the motors.co.uk data. So they're looking into stock insight, predominantly talking about, you know, which are the best vehicles in terms of margin retention and days to sell. Predominantly, me and you have obviously grown up with this 60-day policy. You know, I don't know why it was, well, it probably goes back to the Sir Arnold Clark days, doesn't it? DC Cook days, we'll leave them to where they are at the minute. But, you know, I think really these days, there's a lot more analysis available, a lot more data available, and the dealers are a lot more hungry for that kind of insight, aren't they, these days?
Yeah, and I think, Phil, you've got, again, both of the dealer, they just want to turn stock quickly, very profitably, but as the consumer, as I'm doing myself, my daughter's passed the test and I'm looking for a vehicle. I spent so many hours online looking and trying to find the right vehicle, the right price. There's a lot to choose from, and it's getting the dealers that opportunity to put their vehicle high up the listings as quick as you can, but financially profitable as they can.
Exactly, and I think, you know, in terms of Cox Automotive, definitely myself, you know, I saw what they got over in the States with their V-Auto business that they've got over there, and the way they did it, and it was a, you know, they have performance managers out with the dealer networks that are really getting into the KPIs of each of the business, really helping them manage their stock profiling. And, you know, I to simplify it, you know, from my point of view, if you've got an S60 or something, you know, should it really be 60 days? If that car is selling every 75 days, then is it overage at 60 days or is it overage at 75 days? And, contrary to that, if you've got a Vauxhall Corsa, then if those Vauxhall Corsas, that particular model, age, plate, etc., is selling across the network at 25 days as an average, is it that it's overage at 60 or is it actually overage at 26 days? And I think that's the bit that people are now wanting to know. More sort of dynamics around it.
I think very valid point, Phil, on that dealers want the money, they want the stock out there, want it reinvested and turning it around. I think whether it's 20 days or 60 days or 75, it's just getting the dealers to turn that around as quickly as they physically can and refreshing the stock at any stage.
Exactly, and I think there's a lot of demand for that. So I think it's great that Cox have obviously got a solution. I think there's probably a lot more to come as we move forward with this, but it's great to see that there is alternatives for the dealer network now, and a lot more data being, you know, the transparency is obviously the key word this year, and it's been there for a while now, that, you know, it's a case of feeding the dealers and you know, a lot more intelligence around their data and what we know as data suppliers, you know, around the consumer behaviours and what's happening in that retail world as to what they should be doing as a business and stocking and buying, etc. So I think we'll see a lot more from that one.
Absolutely. And I remember my early days as a salesman that with a vehicle age, you just redated the T card and started it again.
Yes.
Or
sold, or moved the price by a pound and sold it to another dealership as a fresh car in stock. And then buy it back off them at another pound, so you brought it back into yourself at day one aging when the car.
Did we work together then, Phil?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was a bit of a common theme across the network, that one, wasn't it? But yeah. And you used to pray that a new business would open somewhere that you could throw them all your overage stock, and it started with them at day one, wasn't it? There's a dealership opening. Do you want some overage stock?
Yeah. Pound cheap, the same cars, is valeted, and it's showing it from the front rather than the back this time around.
Exactly. I mean, it's not to go in now, but there's been a story on Facebook, and I don't know where, I think it was in the Star somewhere it appeared that somebody's shared on Facebook. I've shared it and had a few comments on it, and it was about Derek Cook and the early days of DC Cook. And we won't go through some of the comments on the podcast. If anybody wants to look at that, have a look at my Facebook profile. There's a few comments on there, but it is quite amusing. It actually, on a serious note, it shows how the industry has evolved. You know, from the early days of what you could do, what you got away with doing, and the sort of practices that were in place in those early days, and you know, you can't do it these days. So it's very amusing, but we'll leave that one there. So then obviously we've got Ford launches there, launches into UK consumer savings market. Which is a bit of a short, and you know, they're talking about a new banking service, and that's been launched by Ford Credit Europe. It's available online and by the telephone, and it's talking about fixed and flexible savings products and ISAs.
Interesting way to attract potentially both existing and new customers.
Yeah, creating a customer database, isn't it, essentially, for the UK network.
If they offer any, if you become a Ford Money account customer, do you get an incentive to become a Ford customer if you're not already? Will they be offering money-driven incentives for new accounts?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to get too sort of cynical with this, but we remember sort of the Tesco experience and using their customers and vice versa. So it'd be, I don't know, it's always interesting when you get these, you know, you get external non-automotive businesses coming into the automotive industry and vice versa. I don't know where Ford are going with this one, but maybe it's the fact that, you know, they feel that they've got the customer base and they can build it and link the two together in terms of the dealer network, the product offering that they've got, and obviously in terms of the money and lending of money with the consumers.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. You know, it's a global brand. People like, and consumers want choice. If it adds choice to a competitive market, great move to them.
And it's simplicity as well, isn't it? You know, at the end of the day, it's one stop, isn't it? In terms of, you know, you get the funding, it's all through Ford money, and you buy your Ford vehicle through it. So, yeah, it'd be an interesting one, this one, and see if any other manufacturers jump on the back of that as well. Those that have got the money to do it, should I say. And then the big one, probably a bit late to talk about it, bearing in mind that I think on the 15th of April, I think March is probably a long and distant memory now for many of those that are listening this morning. It'd be March. It's like another year, isn't it, that we've moved on since then. But I think on the build up to the end of the month, you know, there was a lot of, sort of guesses, as we knew that we were going to be potentially getting a big month with the activity that was happening across the industry. As we alluded to earlier, you know, there's a lot of tactical registration business happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, interesting, we haven't seen a great deal of the old pre-reg stories that normally come out within the sort of first week following a new registration month that everybody jumps on, that is if pre-reg and tactical registrations were a new thing to the trade. But yeah, it's a big month. I mean, 562,000 cars, biggest March on record, increase of 8.4%. There is a little bit of interesting context behind that in terms of what's been happening in the daily rental market. That's seen a large growth. We've obviously seen big shifts by certain manufacturers. And again, it's what the impact is going to be. And, you know, you alluded to it earlier in terms of stock in the marketplace, you know, stores that have been a little bit proactive entering the month that knew there was going to be some tactical registration activity, they were probably being a bit more strategic in terms of what they registered and what vehicles they tactically registered.
I can add to that, say just on that comment, you're spot on that we know that with the sort of the clients that we've been working with, because they knew about the changes, the excise duty and the registrations that had to be in for the quarter, they were tactically challenged with it. So they had the right stock, the right vehicles, and they've planned around it. So they knew it was coming, they have gone through the registration process tactically but with the right stock and right vehicle. And I think that will still help them going into Q2.
Yeah, and I think that's the difference these days, isn't it? That the old days, and I say the old days, it's probably not long ago, it was kind of, you know, last minute, closing days of the month, getting the phone calls, and you took what was available. And if that was a field full of Vauxhall Safaris in a model that the consumers never wanted to buy, and that's why they were sat in a field somewhere, that's what you registered. So it was kind of, they didn't sell new. So what you did was you pre-registered them, put all your cash into them, and then wondered why they didn't sell as a pre-reg vehicle.
A new stock instead of a new stock.
Yeah, it was a very interesting one, that one. It's got a weird concept. So I think these days, you know, as you say, a lot of the dealers now are sort of saying, right, we are going to be pre-registering. If we don't, then fine. These cars are naturally in demand anyway, so they might as well pull them in. And you know, there was this driver and the VED changes. So I think you're right. I think there's a lot going on there. And you know, yourself have mentioned it in terms of the demand that a lot of the manufacturers now are getting behind of what they're going to do with it. You know, they don't want to wait until it's 60 days in stock and they've just got this pre-reg car sat there that's still in wax. And no plates on it. You know, there's a lot more proactive activity going on at the minute, isn't there?
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, it's changing times, isn't it? It's working for the market.
It is.
But it'd be interesting to see, alluded to earlier with the clients that we're working with, sort of April seems to have been a very buoyant start. And it has March and Q1 taken Q2 registrations. And I think we'll see that towards the end of Q2. Is there a market shortfall, both of stock and of registrations?
Yeah, I mean, that I think you're right. I think that's what we're talking about at the minute, that there's a lot of product pulled into March. I mean, there was a shortage in many cases. I mean, Ford Fiesta was one of the ones that the key models that dealers were struggling to get for the retail market because it was on run out and the new model wasn't available yet. So they were struggling with that. So there's been a lot of stuff pulled forward. So yeah, I think early sentiment is that there's still a lot of pressure from the manufacturers. The support has eased off slightly. But again, I think we're going to see a bit of a sort of, it's going to be very much brand specific as to what activity happens in this Q2, but it's going to be a tough month for a few of them, I think.
Definitely.
And then just very quickly, we've got a couple of exclusives. We won't go into this one too much because if not, we're going to get in the realms of Dieselgate and everything else that goes on. And then we'll be talking about the difference between CO2 and NOx. And, you know, it's not our world on the podcast to go into that. But the guys at the consulting team at CAPHPI, Matt Freeman there, produced a very in-depth dive into petrol versus diesel. And created a white paper that we did. And that's been circulated across the dealer network. I've circulated it to a few of my contacts and it's online at the minute. And I'm sure on the email that's been sent out this morning, there'll be a link to it. But the early feedback is that it's been proved very useful for the dealers because they're starting to get a lot of questions from consumers now over the media that's out there. Good and bad media. Depending what story you read, SMMT have produced some stories this week in defence to the manufacturers. But, you know, this adds a little bit of context and is helping dealers have conversations with customers that are asking the question about some of the differences and the impact on it. So have a read of it. Print it off, show your customers, that's what it's there for. It's basically good knowledge sharing to get involved with.
Yeah, I think it's a debate that's been going on for years, and I'm sure it will continue years and years to come, but I think with the increase of the hybrid and electric, to see, you know, where does that go? Where does that take them eventually?
There is, and, you know, we talk about NOx compared to CO2. You know, there's also, you've got the EV sector, which is growing, but it's growing from a low base point. You've got hydrogen that's happening in the background as well, that's coming along very quick. And then you've obviously got autonomous as well. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes. But obviously what you've also got alongside all this is the CO2 commitments from the manufacturers that I believe there's a 95 euro fine if they fail to meet them by the year 2020. So when you start looking at diesels are predominantly a lower CO2 to the petrol, so everything's being focused and targeted on the lower CO2, what the manufacturers have targeted on, there's a big fine if they don't meet those commitments. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes that the media aren't necessarily, in all cases, picking up on and reporting correctly in some cases. So I would be certainly one to watch, and I think there's a lot more to come yet. I don't think we've seen half of it yet, so there's a lot more to come.
It'd be very interesting, I think, to say where does it go, where does it lead, and where does it end, but it'd just be interesting to see as that debate continues on and on.
Exactly. So I think what we'll do now, we'll go to Derek. Derek's going to read out a tribute to the late and legendary Sir Arnold Clarke, who passed away this week at the age of 89, very much predominant in the motor industry and in the consumer market. You know, it's a name that's synonymous to the car trade. So we'll go to Derek now, and then following that we'll have a 1 minute silence, and then we'll have a couple of shout outs.
A tribute to Sir Arnold Clarke. In the 1950s, a young Arnold Clarke purchased a Morris 10-4 for £70 with his precious demobilisation money after leaving the Royal Air Force. It would be the car that would change his fortunes and eventually make him a billionaire. Born John Arnold Clarke in 1927, the young Arnold had a strong business sense from an early age. He took on paper and milk rounds and sold vegetables door to door in his home city of Glasgow. As a child, he treated his customers fairly and with respect. He would speak to anyone with a complaint and try to solve the problem himself, a quality which would stand him in good stead for his later career as his car dealership business grew. Sir Arnold left school with no qualifications at 14 and joined the military at 17, rising the ranks to become corporal. His interest in cars led him to become a motor mechanics instructor for the Royal Air Force, and having left the RAF, he saved his demobilisation money until he could purchase his Morris 10-4. Carefully restoring the car, he sold it for a profit. Shortly afterwards, he opened his first showroom on Park Road in Glasgow in 1954, beginning with Morris Motors, but soon expanding as he purchased sites and rival companies in the area. In the 1960s, Arnold Clarke Automobiles ventured into rental cars, a business move which would make the company a dominant name in the rental market. Some 50 years later, the company would own more than 5,500 vehicles to rent across the country. As the dealerships grew, Clarke's business began to encompass all manner of motoring solutions. An acquisition of Grant, Melrose and Tennant in 1968 gave the company its first accident repair centre in Vinicombe Street. It had earned its first contract hire customer 2 years previously, providing a fleet of 30 cars to Arnott Young. The number of Arnold Clarke franchises began to grow, and throughout the 1970s, as the company added Austin, Jaguar, Land Rover, MG, Rover and Triumph to its books, as well as becoming the first Scottish car dealership to land a franchise partnership with Renault. By 1980, Arnold Clarke became Scotland's biggest car dealership firm, rounding the decade off with 13 dealership acquisitions and the purchase of the Ron Hutchison Motors Group in the northeast of Scotland. Over the next 10 years, Arnold Clarke would establish itself as a national car dealer, opening its first site south of the border in Liverpool by the start of the millennium. Arnold Clarke himself received a Lifetime Achievement Award in 2000 at the age of 73 at the National Business Awards. The accolades kept rolling in, and in 2003 he was awarded the Insider Elite Businessman of the Year Award and the Glasgow Chamber of Commerce Lifetime Achievement Award. In his 50th year of business, Sir Arnold arose after being knighted by the Queen for his services to the motor industry. A year later, he would receive an honorary doctorate from Glasgow University. In 2014, the business celebrated 60th year with a record turnover of over £3 billion. Arnold Clarke employed more than 9,000 members of staff at 125 sites across the UK from Inverness to Birmingham. In 2016, Sir Arnold became the first billionaire car dealer and was named in the Sunday Times Rich List, placing him at 114th in the annual feature. Sir Arnold's passion for classic cars never wavered since that first Morris 10-4, and he had many vintage cars which he collected and restored. He shared his love of cars with staff, his prized vehicles such as a butter yellow Citroen Cloverleaf from 1926 and a Rolls-Royce Park Wars single tourer from 1928 displayed in branches across the country. Cars were not Sir Arnold's only passion. He purchased racing yacht Drum in 1988, which had been commissioned by Duran Duran's Simon Le Bon. He sailed it competitively across the UK, both inshore and offshore, and would take his family on sailing trips. As the businessman's commitments grew, he had less time to spend on the yacht, and instead the grand boat was chartered for trips and utilised for charity events. A keen supporter of charities, Sir Arnold's company was the first to win a Platinum Award from vulnerable children's charity Cash for Kids for its numerous donations over the years. Arnold Clark also sponsors Scotland's Kilt Walk event, as well as many other charities, organisations and people involved with sport. He never forgot his Glaswegian roots and was an advocate for a number of cultural causes in the city, serving as a trustee on the fundraising appeal for both the Riverside Museum and for the Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum. Sir Arnold married twice, had 6 sons and 4 daughters. 2 of his sons work in director roles in the company, while others work in senior management. Sir Arnold never retired and remained at the helm of the company until his death. He passed away at the age of 89 on April the 10th, surrounded by his family. Rest in peace, Sir Arnold. Your legacy will continue for many, many, many years.
Well, thank you, Derek. Thank you for that. And we'll just go to a 1 minute silence, and then we'll finish off with a couple of shout outs for the MotorTrader.com. Been missed by many, but obviously the Arnold Clark have obviously made a massive difference to the automotive industry over the years, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more to come from the Arnold Clark business and family. So we'll move on to a couple of shout outs. So obviously we've got Motor Trader Awards, the deadline passed last week or the week before, I think it was, and Curtis has agreed to extend the deadline now for those that want to get nominations in. And I'm sure that Derek will be trying to get Motor Trader Radar Video in there as a nominated business.
And my vote went in on time.
Pardon?
My vote went in on time.
Did it? Well, we can extend it. We can get some more votes. So for those that are listening that haven't done it yet, get your votes in. I think there's 20 categories this year. Get your nominations in. It's open till the 27th of April. Go to MotorTrader.com. There's a link there. It tells you all about it. Gives you the categories and obviously your submission page on there. So if you haven't done it yet, it's been extended due to obviously a fairly busy March and obviously with the aftermath of that. So they have extended to the 27th. So head yourself over to that. And we've also got the last little shout out to Curtis that stupidly is running the London Marathon. Have you ever done the marathon? I've got to ask. Are you a runner? Have you done it? Or
if you see me, I've eaten one. I've never run one.
Yeah, I've eaten a few for years. Yeah, I'm not running one.
No.
The answer's no to that, then, right?
Okay. The simple answer was no, and if you ask me if I'm going to do it, the same answer applies.
Yeah, well, we'll talk at some point about the Ben charity that's going on Jeremy Hicks has done with a few with 6 other people with Jeremy in the.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
amazing.
I was talking with Martin Kasher at a dinner recently. It's quite something when you actually get into it. But we'll give a shout out to Curtis because he is putting a lot of time and practice in. I'm sure that this weekend he'll be listening to this probably whilst he's running. He's raising it for Cystic Fibrosis Trust, and I think it's on the Sunday the 23rd is the London Marathon this year. So head yourself over. Again, there's a link there for the virginmoneygiving.com/Curtis Hutchinson. If you haven't given, every penny counts, and it's obviously for a fantastic cause. So every bit helps. So head yourself over there and let us wish the best of luck for Curtis, and rather you than me, Curtis. And it's always, and everybody keeps telling me it's them last few miles that you think you're about there and you've actually got 2 or 3 miles to go is the toughest, but you've got everybody around you. And if the guy runs past you in an elephant outfit, you know, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. I won't be in it. Yeah, exactly.
No, I think fair credit to these guys that take the time and effort and, you know, contribute. It's massive heads up to them. It's superb. Absolutely superb.
Exactly. So I think that's probably enough for this this weekend. We did miss last weekend. We won't try and make up for what we missed last weekend and add it to this week. But thanks for coming on, Jason. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me. Really enjoyed it. It's been very good.
Hope you enjoyed it. And obviously, I very much guess that you will be coming back on at some point in the future. As I think we've got lots of potential opportunities to get some guests on. Obviously using some of the contacts that you've been talking to over recent weeks and know from in the industry. So I think we're going to try and obviously get the most from that. And get some interesting guests on from across the industry, aren't we?
I've seen the sort of the guest list that's pending. I'd love to come back on at some stage, but I think they're going to be very entertained with what's coming over the next few weeks and months.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. Real pleasure. Really enjoyed it.
Wonderful. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a fantastic Easter weekend. And let's hope it's successful with sales and the weather doesn't look too bad. So we might get a few customers out on forecourts this weekend. So have a great one and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thank you.
Sign up for our free newsletter at motortraderadio.com.